Hey, I'm Drew.
And I'm Tim.
And this is the Hearts and Hands Podcast. In Season 2, Episode 31, Tim and I talk about a hybrid church. Welcome to another episode of the Hearts and Hands Podcast. I'm your host, Drew Sonnenberg, joined as always by my co-host, Tim Babbler. And Tim, today we're doing something a little different. We don't have a guest this week. It's just going to be you and I talking about something that we've both have dealt with quite a bit over the last few months and just wanted to like talk to each other and get ideas and share what we've learned over the past few months. But we're talking about what some people are calling hybrid church. So I guess maybe for starters, Tim, how would you define hybrid church?
Yeah, so hybrid church is really coming from the idea that in-person and online are not mutually exclusive and that they can exist together. It basically is looking at church in a new way, no longer seeing the church gathering as only being a Sunday morning in-person experience, but something that takes place throughout the course of the week and in a lot of different locations that's not just the church building per se.
Yeah, one person who has helped me like put this very succinctly for people is our good friend Pastor Kent Reeder, who I work with, and he talks about kind of the role of the church being kind of twofold. The first part is that it produces content, which sounds like a marketing term, but I think we'll understand it properly once we get talking about it a little bit. But to produce content is number one, but then also to cultivate community. And the Sunday morning gathering for, you know, hundreds of years was the easiest and best way to kill both of those birds with one stone, right? Like, we didn't have technology, so we couldn't live stream services or record videos or anything like that. So if we wanted to dispel information, if we wanted to give people content, if we wanted to preach a sermon, literally the only way to do that was to gather a bunch of people in one room and then give them that information. And it just so happened that at the same time we were able to cultivate community because everyone was gathered together there. But I just obviously don't think that's the case anymore, right?
And that's the idea, is with the advancements in technology is one thing, but it's a different way that people consume, as we would say, content. And as much as we're not just a consumer-driven marketing firm, it's still important that you're putting out the right amount of, as we again say, content, your sermons, your Bible studies, your whatever it is, in order to make sure that your people are engaged. And engaged in community is something that even can be accomplished online. It may not be as ideal because you like to have these in-person gatherings are still a very important thing when it comes to community and discipleship, but content can still be delivered through a digital method or through a hybrid of digital and in-person at that same time.
Yeah, and like I think I personally have been able to witness this firsthand. Like I'm part of a small group that meets and goes through our digital content every week, and the other members of this small group are all in the state of Washington, and I'm in South Carolina right now. But like we still are able to cultivate that community. Like we just were like talking both before and after we were going through the thing and like getting to know each other better. And like I geeked out with this one guy because he knew this artist that I just discovered recently, and and it was awesome. But yeah, like it certainly, like I think you and I are both kind of saying it's not to say that there is no place for the Sunday morning gathering. It's just to say there are more places than the Sunday morning gathering, right? Like we can do that traditional thing that we're also used to and that we love, but we can also reach people in other ways or in more ways.
Yeah, and I recently attended an online church engagement seminar that was hosted by Kerry Newhoff. For listeners who may not be familiar, Kerry Newhoff hosts a leadership podcast. He's got a website and blog, ton of great materials he sends out on a weekly or daily basis, actually. It's always like 7 tips or the future of this. Or, you know, he's got a lot of, for him, it is marketing emails, but his purpose is specifically for church leaders and how can you either become more efficient or, you know, it's a lot of self-help for leaders, but at the same time, the church is looking forward. And recently they hosted this summit and had some really good speakers. One of the speakers was a pastor by the name of Levi Lusco, who is a pastor of Fresh Life Church, which is based in Montana, of all places. And he kind of actually talked about that and said, when you think of like big city churches or things like that, Montana doesn't really come to mind. You know, they have Missoula and Bozeman. Shout out to listeners in Montana. I love Montana. But you don't think of, like, you know, big cities when you're talking about Montana. Yet the purpose is they specifically don't have a sanctuary that seats over, I believe he said, 200 people. Like, it's even smaller than that. And all of their gathering spaces are so small because he's like, if we get past that, let's just open another campus. Well, and then COVID hit and that changed their mindset a bit. And they always had an online digital presence, but the shift has been huge from focusing so much on Sunday morning, Sunday morning, Sunday morning to we are now an everyday church. And when you go to their, if you would go to their website and click on find a campus, it goes to a completely separate website that is called Fresh Life Watch Parties. And what they do then is they're saying either I want to join a watch party, I'm in a watch party, or help me find a watch party, like something like that, or we're looking for new people. Sure. And there are people that are hosting watch parties in not just the cities where they had campuses originally, but in all these different cities now where people are coming together in community to be able to watch the sermons or participate in worship. And they actually film their things differently, specifically for the online campus, as you would call it, or mm-hmm. for the watch parties, because the way you deliver content online looks different than the way you deliver content in person.
Yeah, and I think that touches on something you also alluded to earlier of, like, how people consume content nowadays and the idea of, you know, meeting people where they are. A core principle that Kent and I have always operated under is we make decisions based on not the people who have been here the longest, but the people who aren't here yet. And, you know, I think even under normal circumstances, the idea of walking across the threshold of a church building can be really intimidating for some people, especially if they've never done it before or if they've had a bad experience with church or something like that. But the experience of sitting on your couch and watching a video on your phone is about as low of a barrier as you can create for people, right? So if you're doing what you can to reach out to the lost, I think creating options like that that are very low pressure, very easy to consume, but are still, you know, an introduction to the Word of God and to your congregation and your people, that you know, why wouldn't you try to embrace that if you are able?
One of the things that I've noticed recently too is we mentioned the way people consume, and you mentioned the easiest way to engage or like to get someone, like, yeah, you can literally be sitting on your couch in your pajamas on a phone and be receiving content. But one of the things that I remember this summit specifically talked about was engagement. How do we get people to want to come back? And the flow is different from when you're in a church and, you know, just think of it this way. Like, you attend church, you're there, you watch it. If you like it, you're going to come back. But for online content, for online church, you want to get them to engage in some way so that they're connected. And then what's my next step? People who are engaged are people who are going to attend. So whether it's an online gathering or whether it's an in-person gathering or just watching something that is produced by your church that's good content for online, you want to make sure people are continuing to come back for more, that they are connected to community, that they are engaged, not just clicking a like, you know, on something because, oh, this is cool. But in order for them to really be For a church to have great impact, you want to see people that it's not just about attracting numbers and getting people in, but having people that are truly engaged and are connected with what your church is putting out there.
Yeah, and I think there's kind of two ways that we've tried to attack that issue of engagement. And again, it comes down to what I was saying earlier about content and community. So, like, you were saying the way that church films their online content is different than you would for your in-person sort of gatherings. And the way that we construct our online content is different than we would if we were all meeting in person. So, like, the way you create your content has to, I shouldn't say has to, because there's no absolutes in this, but I believe it should be constructed in a way to create to engage people mentally and not just let them be a consumer. Like, you know, at some point, everyone's just going to be a consumer, and that's, you know, unavoidable. But, like, to create things that are thought-provoking, that that, you know, challenge you, that force you to engage mentally with the material, I think that's number one. But then also, like we were saying, like, community is so important. Like, whether it's having these watch parties or doing the Zoom small groups that we do or whatever it is, like, getting people to not just tackle this by themselves, but to be engaged in the material with other people. And to, you know, if they have questions, ask questions. If they have doubts, like, be able to share those. If they're, you know, anything that may come up as they're engaging with the Word of God in this way, to be able to do that not by themselves and not even necessarily, like, with a pastor, but to be able to engage with other Christians as they encounter God's word in this way. The community aspect is so important.
And that's something that, you know, a lot of pastors and ministry leaders are probably asking the question, why aren't my people coming back? Like, whether it's because of masks or not because of masks, or having in person, or having a, you know, a service that's designed for elderly people, why aren't people coming back? And that's, I've heard that question many times. But you have to think of it this way. As you mentioned, there are people who have just been a consumer simply. And if they just, all they did was came into church, sat in the back pew, they sat there, they did what they were supposed to do, they listened, and then they left. They're not actively connected or engaged with people in person. Why would they have anything or need anything more than what they're already getting, which is just simply, I can tune into TV or to church on my TV, right? Or church on my phone.
Yeah.
That's all they did anyway. It's not going to be any different. The people who, like I had mentioned, people who are engaged are people who are going to continue to be present. And that presence is not, like I said, specifically an in-person thing. I truly believe that the future of the church is it's not in-person and it's not online. It's this hybrid we're talking about, that you have to be a different thing than what church had been in the past, which for most people was honestly a consuming. Sit in church. Yes, you're going to sing. Yes, you're going to do this. You're going to receive the Lord's Supper, which is an amazing, true blessing from God. But at the same time, if all you're doing is sitting there and listening, and there's no next steps, you were a consumer. In order to be engaged, in order to truly be a part of this community, you have next steps, you have action items, things to do, whether it's as simple as reading another portion of scripture, but otherwise, where is that service aspect? Where is you actually truly being the hands and feet of Jesus? You don't get that just by sitting in a church pew on a Sunday morning. You get that by being church. And one of the things I really like is, I forget who mentioned this, but someone was like, I don't attend church. I'm not coming back to church. Like, I go to church because I am the church.
Yeah, and I think this also connects a little bit to the idea of small groups, or at least in the way that some churches have attacked this. Like, small groups can look very different from church to church. Sometimes it's just, you know, kind of a random gathering of people doing a Bible study on Wednesday or something like that. But the churches that I've seen that I think do small groups best are the ones that kind of approach them from the idea that this group of people is going to do life together. They're not just we're gonna go through this Bible study for an hour every week. It's we're gonna do life together, and we're gonna therefore get out there and be the hands of and feet of Jesus, living our lives in the world, but together. We're not gonna have to worry about how can I do all of this by myself, because you shouldn't. That's not how God designed us to be. But we're gonna do this together. And you know, I think that's part of this. I think moving forward, we're not gonna be as focused on, you know, let's have this gathering of 600 Christians on a Sunday morning. Like, if we still do that, that's fine and that's great, but we've got to be like focusing on how can we be serving these groups that are going to be actually, you know, if I'm sitting in a church full of 600 people, again, nothing wrong with that. That's great. But I certainly don't know all 600 of those people, and I'm not going to confess my sins directly to all 600 of those people, and I'm not going to share the things that are weighing on me with those 600 people, but there might be a handful of them. There might be 8 or 10 of them that I would do that with. And so how can we construct the content we are producing to serve people like that, to serve groups like that? I think that's a really important question.
That's a very important question. And isn't that the model of the early Christian church? I mean, they did everything literally in community. They broke bread together. They did all of these things specifically as small groups together. And whether it was because of fear of persecution or whether it was because, you know, for whatever various reasons, this is the way that they operated. And there's going to be people, like, honest truth, I'm a part of a big church. And I'm on staff at a big church. And I still don't know everybody. I've been there over 2 years. It's difficult when you have, you know, over 1,000, almost 2,000 members. I see a lot of these people, and I'm not really sure. Like, I know I've seen you, but I can't remember your name. Those sorts of things. But there are small groups of people with which I have interactions that I can specifically say, these are people with whom I am in community. Because these are people, like you mentioned, that I would specifically confess my sins to, that I would receive necessary and needed encouragement from. You know, it says it in Ephesians, encourage one another and build each other up. Like, that is an important part of being the church and not just attending. And for so many people, it's just the action that they see as being important. Like, I'm physically at church, or I'm physically checking in that I watched online, or, you know, filling out registration. It's cool to do that, but then you're just consuming. You're missing out on the whole purpose of being the church and what it's like to be the church.
Yeah, I mean, the devil is really good because he's really subtle most of the time, right?
Like, yeah.
It's so easy to just be that consumer, to just, you know, I'm a good Christian because I go to church every Sunday morning. And again, there's nothing wrong with going to church every Sunday morning. But if that's your attitude, that's, you know, that bare minimum is good enough, that attending and consuming is good enough. Like, you're not growing. You're not learning more. You're not pushing. You're not serving more. You're not helping others more. You're just consuming, and that's not what Christ calls us to do.
Yeah, and that's where something that author Nona Jones has said before. She's actually the head of faith-based partnerships on Facebook. It's actually cool that Facebook has this whole idea where they want to encourage those faith communities to have groups, not just pages.
Yeah,
because she mentions things like, your page is like your front porch, and then Facebook Live is like your front door. That's where you start to get interactions. But those groups are your living room, where people will be authentic, where you're going to build that community. And she said things too, like, it doesn't matter how many followers you have if your followers are not following Jesus through you. Like, just because someone likes your page or clicks follow, if they're not actually following Jesus, then I'm sorry, we're not accomplishing our goal. And that's the important thing, is we're not here to have people follow us. We're here to guide people to following the way, the truth, the life.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And that reminded me of, like, even as recently as a few years ago, people would always when you would go to like church conference type things, they would talk about your church website being your front door.
Right.
That, you know, before people ever step foot through your actual doors, they're going to check out your website. So your website needs to be good and everything. But honestly, at this point, I think, you know, the content you're putting out, whether it's on your website or on Facebook or wherever you're putting it, like, it's not just like the website that has, you know, here's our pastor and this is where we're located and this is our mission statement. Like, they're probably not even going to look at most of that. They're going to try to find a video and click on it and see what you're about through the content that you're creating. So I think now more than ever, it's important that we be conscious of that and we be thinking about, you know, how is the content we're putting out online going to engage a first-time consumer, if we're being honest, because...
Right.
Yeah.
Well, if we're focusing... Yeah, if you're focusing on building community and realizing you can't expect people to be 100% authentic and, like, ask for prayers or any of those things when they're in that large group setting, because they don't know everybody they're watching with either. And let's be honest, more people are probably seeing your content than you realize. This is actually a funny anecdote. We put out a weekly children's church message. So I've got this red shirt that I wear every week for that it's on there, and it says children's church. And one day I was at Walmart, two separate people that I have never met before in my life. I happen to be wearing the red shirt and with a mask on, you know, you don't necessarily always recognize someone, but they saw
the red
shirt.
Well, they can see your beard though.
Well, I mean, that's true. It's true. But they were like, "Hey, you're that children's church guy."
That's
awesome.
And I'm
like, I've never met you before. And they're not even partners at our church.
That's awesome.
They are just people because it was shared by someone, then shared by someone who saw it. And not to say, like, I mean, it was kind of cool feeling like, I'm like, well, this is like celebrity status where you like walk around and people notice you. But I mean, it wasn't for that that was cool. The fact that I thought it was awesome is like, here are people in my community that I've never met that are not specifically connected to our church, but watch something that our church puts out.
Yeah.
And if that was just gone, here's the thing. Actually, Levi Lusko talked about this too in that seminar. People will watch it, and then suddenly something's gone. Like, he used to broadcast on TV, and when they switched that up and got off the air, he happened to see people once and like, what happened? Like, did you guys stop streaming? Like, stop having that church? Because for so many people, that was their Sunday. That was their service.
Sure.
So more people are seeing your stuff than you realize. If something disappears, you might lose those people. Again, the goal ultimately, yes, we want people to be in community, whether that's in person, in small groups, whatever it is, that should be the goal. Live in community with other Christians. You are receiving God's word. You are hearing messages. You are doing all of these things to build you up in your faith, and not to be an island, not to be by yourself, but realizing that some people might not get there, but if they're still watching your message, you're still getting the good stuff, you know? I guess one other thing that I would mention too is actually an interesting thing that, again, Carrie Newhoff had talked about, where when they were looking at how to produce this online content better, he actually hired a YouTuber as like a five-hour a week sort of thing to be like a consultant.
Sure.
Because people are, where are people? Like, it doesn't matter if it's a 13-year-old or a 50-year-old, so many people are on their personal devices. And if they're not going to come to you, you need to come to them in a way that makes sense and is well done. So it's important that you mentioned this before, but that your whatever content you're putting out is well done, and it should be consistent. Like, I'm not filming a video on my phone and expecting it to be at the same quality as what our video producer puts out for us. So we're specific about that. If something is going to be put out as an official St. Mark Ministries thing, it has to go through our video producer,
yeah,
because he does the editing, he does the work to make sure that it is well done. And that's an important thing, because consistency, yes, while that consistency does not bring people to Christ, consistency helps people to see that this is something that's worth their time, and the Holy Spirit keeps them connected then.
Yeah, just as a silly aside, I can't wait for the first church that hires a TikTok consultant.
No joke. I actually think someone was mentioning that.
I'm sure somebody has, but
well, because you think of these pastors that are personalities, you know, a guy like Levi Lusko, for example, they kind of have to have the latest thing if they want to connect with with people, like with teenagers especially. Like TikTok is very popular in the teenage, yeah. young adult Gen Z, kind of yeah. age range. Yeah, Gen Z or Gen Alpha, the new one yeah. after that, right?
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, people are going to watch that. I know there was, with me being the youth education director at my church, I follow a lot of different like youth pages and youth groups to see what people are doing and what sorts of new ideas can we come up with. And something I noticed is there's a few churches, like there's no point for them in posting their like high school youth ministry stuff to Facebook because the high school group is not on Facebook. Yeah, you can say, well, Facebook. I'm not going to TikTok it either. But you know where they broadcast their like services and groups and stuff for their high schoolers is on Instagram Live.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I mean, if they're there, they're there already. Yeah. So what's meeting the point? What's where the difference?
At, yeah.
And that's huge. And that's one of those things where, again, you think of Paul. Paul didn't say, well, you all must come into these synagogues in order to be a Christian. No, he specifically said, I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. Like the idea is do things, innovate, go to people. You're not going to make people come to you. Will they eventually? Maybe. That would be great and awesome. But don't stop innovating. Don't stop coming up with new ideas and don't stop being the church for people. There are so many people that their only interaction or their first interaction with the church is their interaction with you. You are bringing the presence of Christ to people and you are giving them an opportunity to see what it's like to be a Christian, to be a Christ follower, to be someone whose life is drastically changed and different from someone who is not a part of that community. And to see for the first time, why are they like this? What is this really all about? And to get them wondering, how can I be a part of this? Not saying that every 3 second interaction you have with someone, like you're in the McDonald's drive through, right? Grabbing your Big Mac or yeah, Big Mac. And you know, you're not going to say, hey, thanks to someone. And they're going to be like, wait, they're so different. But when you truly interact with somebody, they're going to see a difference.
Yeah, and I like you bringing up Paul, because I think, like, he does kind of perfectly encapsulate this. Like, did he preach in the synagogues? Certainly. Like, if we can make that sort of analogous to, like, a traditional Sunday morning gathering and everything. He certainly did that. He didn't stop doing that. But he also then marched up on Mars Hill and just preached to the regular people where they were and related to them on their terms. He met the people where they were, and that's exactly what we're saying here. Anyway, Tim, it's been great talking to you about this. You've shared a lot of really interesting things that I want to think over. But is there anything else you want to share with our listeners before we take off this week?
No, I'm just honestly, I'm really passionate about it. I don't know if you could tell when I was talking. But honestly, listeners, like, we'd love to hear your input on this. We're going to have a post on Facebook about this. I would love to see your comments. Interact with us. And again, I'm asking you to engage. Church engagement, right? But the idea is, honestly, if you have ideas, if you have thoughts about this, we would love to continue to have this discussion because it's not going away. You know, online church was not a Band-Aid that you can just rip off and say, cool, now we can go back to normal. Like, stop trying to make a new normal. Don't ask when it's going to go back. This is currently normal, and it's going to be normal until there's another normal. You know, we're not going to go back ever to the way things were originally. Like, I just simple things. Like, I don't honestly know if we're ever going to pass an offering plate in our church again. But we've got the baskets in the back, and so many people give online. I don't know if it makes sense for us to pass a plate anymore. So just small things like that. But honestly, folks, we would love to hear your input on this as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And as always, if you have other questions you'd like answers to, people you'd like to hear from, or if you are an artist that wants to come and talk to us about the newest thing that you're making, we'd love to hear from you. Feel free to reach out to us at heartsandhandspodcast@gmail.com or on any social media platform at Wells Creatives.
And we'd love to have your support as well to keep us up and running on patreon.com/heartsandhandspodcast. We've got some awesome supporters there so far, so thank you so much to those who are on there. We'd love for you to check us out.
Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.